there is June 28th, 2013, 198 years and 10 months after the White House really did burn, there's a movie coming out called White House Down, in which the central image is the White House burning. And President James Sawyer, played by Jamie Foxx, who looks remarkably like, of course, President Obama, and Channing Tatum star in this movie, in which a hugely armed paramilitary group attacks Washington and takes down the White House. Now, this happened. This actually happened in the United States in August. What is the date here? August 24th, I think, 1814, when the British in the War of 1812 attacked Washington, burned the Capitol, burned the White House, and with great glee, burned every government building they could think of in Washington. This because President James Madison had gone along with a war hawks in Congress, led by Henry Clay of Kentucky, to enter a war against Great Britain in 1812, because the British were, they had impressed about 7,000 American sailors into the British Navy, and they were busy fighting Napoleon. Well, once Wellington was done with Napoleon, he sent these, the Brits sent these battle-hardened troops to attack the United States, which really wasn't ready for any of this.
Because they didn't have Channing Tatum there to protect them.
Exactly. Precisely. Anyway, there is a fabulous book that I've been reading called Through the Perilous Fight, 6 Weeks That Saved the Nation. And it's just remarkable, to tell you the truth. The picture on the front of the book is the White House burning with all these British troops sort of marching away after they set the whole thing on fire. And it looks remarkably like the picture on White House Down on the website. Anyway, the author of this book is named Steve Vogel. Steve, are you with me?
I am.
Listen, I got to tell you, I love reading your book.
Hey, I appreciate that, John.
It's a real exciting a real exciting tale. And just telling the audience a little bit about the way you put the book together. You've got all the, I mean, it's obvious you went and did the research, and you've got all these letters and quotes from people, actually what they said to relatives and friends when they wrote about it. And I just ask you if you would please, when Ken Burns buys the book and makes this great War of 1812 movie, can I be Shelby Foote and read those letters?
You've got the right voice. I think we'll make that happen.
All right. So tell me how it was. First of all, who's Frank Key?
Frank Key was basically the first of a very common breed today. He was a Washington lawyer. There's a lot of them now, but he was an attorney living in Georgetown, which was part of the Capitol, and living there with his wife and 6 kids. And he was actually someone who was opposed to this war. But
how do we all know Frank Key?
He's better known by his full name, which is Francis Scott Key.
And he is the author of what is now the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem.
That's right.
And he was, just to digress ever so slightly, that was a poem about the fight for Fort McHenry, is really what it was all about, right?
Exactly. And that first verse is really a question. He's wondering whether he's going to see the flag still flying.
The other thing, just before I get to the main story, because I've always wondered, you know, the 1,000 times I'd have been at a baseball game and sung the song, the line, through the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air. And I've always thought, what rockets? What rockets? And in your book, I discovered that the British, when they invaded the United States, had this whiz-bang new technology. What was it called?
These were Congreve rockets. They were essentially weapons of terror. Not necessarily incredibly effective, but they were very useful in panicking troops and, you know, causing setting fires to buildings, that sort of thing. But they had a lot of rockets and a lot of bombs as well.
Okay, now I got to tell you, when an author comes on whose book I've chosen because it sounded interesting and I read it and I liked it, the first thing I tell the author is, so I'm on Amazon right now. I got Prime. I just hit one click. Your book is on its way to me.
Excellent.
See, so you got one sale out of this.
That's great.
How is it that we got into the War of 1812? Why did we do it? What did James Madison agree to it?
Madison basically had come to believe that if we didn't stand up to Great Britain, the United States was going to end up as a vassal state to England. They were trampling our sovereignty, simply put. They were, of course, engaged in an enormous war with Napoleon at the time, and they were stopping our ships at sea, taking sailors and pressing them into service for the Royal Navy, which was in desperate need of manpower. So the Royal Navy would stop these ships, and if they had any reason to suspect that an American sailor was of British origin, they would take them. They were also blocking our trade with the rest of Europe, and of course the British were still in Canada at that point. Canada consisted of several colonies that were made up of British North America, so there were a lot of tensions along the border. And, you know, the War Hawks, you mentioned earlier, had been demanding that the United States take some action against these various British actions. And Madison had come to conclude, after years of attempts to negotiate their way out of it, that the United States would need to declare war to get Great Britain's attention.
Well, if Madison thought he should declare war to get, and let me remind people, what we're talking about here is the result of one of the most memorable results of this war was the burning of the White House and the Capitol and other public buildings in Washington, D.C. by British troops. But if Madison thought this is a war we should get into, even if the reasons were good, why wouldn't he prepare for a war knowing sooner or later the British troops would be done with Napoleon and would come after us?
Well, both Congress and Madison, Congress, which voted for war on a very, very close vote, the closest in American history, and Madison were gambling that the British wouldn't really send a big force to fight us because they were tied up with Napoleon. Congress and the president failed to really prepare the U.S. military for this conflict. They were hoping it wouldn't be necessary to use them, and a lot of people were warning them that was going to be a mistake, that the British would respond. But the gamble was that the United States could fight a small British force in North America, and that we could take over Canada. The idea was the Canadians would welcome us as liberators, but it didn't quite happen that way. The Canadians did not want any part of us.
Okay, now, the other thing about Madison that I noticed was that he was, until he watched the British invade Washington, D.C., this was a president who did not believe in a professional standing army. He thought, American volunteers and yeoman farmers with their trusty muskets could win the Revolutionary War. They could do it again.
Exactly. I mean, that was a very common strain of thought in the United States at the time, and not just Madison. Thomas Jefferson, of course, believed the same thing. There was a real distrust of a standing army, that it could pose a threat to the democracy, and there's also concern that the taxes that would be needed to fund a permanent large army or a large navy. So there was this belief that the militia, the folks you spoke about, could stand up and defend the homeland without having a standing army. There was a small army force, about under 10,000 strong, and most of that ended up being sent up along the Canadian frontier, and we had a tiny navy of really not more than about a half a dozen real warships that could go to sea, and with that we were taking on what was essentially the most powerful nation in the world.
So tell me about the day. If the movie had been just delayed a year, you'd be on the 200th anniversary of burning the White House the first time. Tell me about the day that the White House and the Capitol were burned.
Really, one of the worst days in American history. It was a desperate time. The British had landed their army in Maryland, including some of Wellington's veterans, about 10 days earlier. They'd begun gathering in the Chesapeake and landed at Benedict on the 19th of August and began moving towards Washington. But Madison and his Secretary of War and the U.S. General Winder, who was in charge of the Washington defenses, they weren't sure which way the British were going to go. They couldn't imagine the British actually wanted to attack the Capitol, which was such a tiny, insignificant village of 7,000 or 8,000 people at the time. They thought, you know, Baltimore, which was third largest city in America at the time, or Annapolis, or some other place was their target. And so they'd done very little to defend the Capitol. And the British force is only 4,000 men, but they were well-trained and well-led. And they, through a series of feints, managed to paralyze the Americans. The British were able to attack through Bladensburg on the border of Washington and move into the city, easily defeating the militia that were brought out to fight too late to really make an effective stand. And the British came into the Capitol that same night, and their objective was to burn every public building in the city. It was the hope of the British commanders that this might force the United States out of the war, force Madison's government to collapse. They blamed the president for this war, and they thought that taking down the Capitol would so outrage the American people that there would be the government would collapse and the United States would be forced to make peace on British terms. And
I'm speaking to Steve Vogel, who's written a book called Through the Perilous Fight: 6 Weeks That Saved the Nation. Great book about the War of 1812. Steve, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about two people and how it was we managed to survive this war. A guy named George Cockburn and a woman named Dolly Madison. And please tell us why or how we managed to survive this war. That right after this break. Gibson on Fox.
News out of Washington.
This is John Cale. I'm in the White House.
They've taken the building and they're holding hostages,
including my daughter.
Alpha One, do you have the target?
Roger that. We're holding the president in the library.
That's the library. Don't go in there. This is so stupid.
Let's just call SEAL Team 6 and they come in here to get us.
We have a scramble sat phone in the residence.
Great, where's that at?
Of course it is.
By the way, John Cale.
Same story.
That is a trailer for White House Down, Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum. How do I say his name?
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. Jamie Foxx playing the president. It's supposed to be Obama. And they're burning the White House. And I bring that into this, even though it's unfair to Steve Vogel, because this did happen. It's occasionally worth being reminded. It did happen. The British invaded, went to Washington, burned the White House, burned the Capitol, burned every public building. Steve Vogel is still with me. The book is called Through the Perilous Fight, 6 Weeks That Saved the Nation. This is, of course, where our national anthem comes from, written by the young lawyer Frank Key, known to us as Francis Scott Key. So, Steve, there is a person, before you get into Dolly Madison, because I thought that was pretty interesting, but there is this person I wanted you to tell us about. Admiral George, well, he pronounced it Coburn, but the Americans pronounce it the way it's spelled, Cockburn. This guy is a central figure in this war.
That's right. I mean, 200 years ago, he was the most feared man in America and the most hated. He had, by the summer of 1814, he'd been in the Chesapeake for much of the previous year, burning plantations. He was taking a number of slaves that escaped from their masters and had come over to the British side and were fighting with the British. This had caused quite a bit of terror all around the region. And Coburn was determined to make the Americans pay a pretty high price for this war that they had declared against Great Britain. And he was the one who had most pushed to actually attack and capture the capital of the United States.
He's a pretty jaunty character, and am I right about this, or was it General Ross who insisted on burning the White House and burning the Capitol?
Oh, Coburn was definitely the real firebrand. He was the one that wanted to do the most damage. It was if it had been up to him, they would have burned more than just the government buildings. They would have probably burned much of the private homes in the town as well. He was the Royal Navy played at this much rougher than the British Army did, and Coburn was he was pretty ruthless, not necessarily vicious, but he was fighting a type of total war that William Tecumseh Sherman would attempt 50 years later during the Civil War, and that meant basically a war against the civilian population.
Steve, I was going to ask you about Dolly Madison, but everybody knows she escaped the White House and got George Washington's portrait. And I just got a couple minutes. How did our country emerge, still our country, when everything you describe here seems to indicate we lost the war?
Well, by some measures, we did. Certainly, probably the Canadians came off better than we did. They put off every American attempt at invasion. But what happened 3 weeks after the fall of Washington was the Americans were able to turn back the British attack on Baltimore, and that's what Francis Scott Key witnessed. And at the same time, a separate British force that was attacking into New York from Canada was turned back. And these two victories really turned the entire tables on the negotiations that were underway. The British had been more or less coming in for the kill, and after this, they had second thoughts about pursuing the war further, and they decided to withdraw some of their more hard demands that pretty much would have ended our sovereignty on the North American continent.
Steve Ogil is the author of this book. It's called Through the Perilous Fight, 6 Weeks to Save the Nation, about the War of 1812 and the burning of the White House. Steve, it's really a good book. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you do very well with it, and I thank you for coming on.